Raymond Froggatt, known as Froggy, was a singer-songwriter who spent much of his tumultuous career struggling to gain recognition. Born in Birmingham, and after battling tuberculosis, Raymond had a series of jobs before taking up poetry and decided to form a band. After advertising for musicians in the Birmingham Evening Post, he met a young guitarist called Hartley Kane, and they set up a group called Monopoly and became regulars at the Belfry, a popular club in Sutton Coldfield.
Just like a cloud, I will hang on the wind, and just you and I, we could reach anything. And I came to you like a bird with a broken wing, and you all took my part. Now I'm ready to begin.
Back in October of 2010, I was lucky enough to meet Raymond and his guitarist, who is known as H.
Well, everybody calls me Froggy, really.
Froggy.
Yeah, everybody.
But to Froggy, yeah. And to Hartley over there. So, first of all, hi to Froggy then.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Robert. Nice of you to invite me to what we're doing.
What you do now is somewhat different to what you started off, I understand. Is that right?
Well, really, when we first started, like everybody else, we were just looking to find a hit record, really, you know, when we were young kids, and we thought that would be the, like, it's like young kids today think if you win X Factor, that's the end of the story. But we, you know, you learn as time goes by that the, you know, things, and of course you develop your own, your skills and develop your talent more, and realise that there's other distances to go in our business, and other ways to find the public, you know.
But before you got into music, I'm just looking at your website here. It says that you began life as a pipe lagger.
I did, yeah, for Bernard Hastie's, a Welsh firm. And I still see some of the people I used to work with all those years ago. But it was a great learning curve for me, because there was a lot of travelling involved, you know, migrant work in different factories all over the country, and in, you know, working at the power stations and stuff. And I got quite used to travelling, which is always the whole part of the business I'm in now, you know. So that was a good training ground, really.
Mm-hmm. So then you began singing, what, in the pubs around Birmingham?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was taken ill for a while, so I contacted tuberculosis, and so I couldn't go back to my job as an insulation bloke. So I just started, while I was getting better, it took quite a bit of time to get better, like a couple of years, and I just started writing things and thought, well, I'll join a band, because everybody was in those days. I mean, if you got a free just moment, knew a bloke who played the guitar, just join them and have a sing. And that's what I did. And having no idea at all that 50 years later we'd still be doing it, you know, and we've been all over the world there ever since then, every country, and our music has sold millions and millions of copies all over the world, you know, which is fantastic.
Good for you. And you've been associated with some of the big record companies, Polydor, yeah, etc.
Yeah, Polydor, we were the first people when they first opened in the very beginning. We thought that was a bit of a disappointment, Polydor, because nobody'd ever heard of them, but they were the biggest recording company in the world, but we didn't know that. With, you know, Decca or Pye, you know, you see them, or Columbia, you see those in the record shops, and we wanted to be on one of them. But Polydor had us, and there was just us and the Bee Gees on the label at the time. They'd just come up from Australia. And they wrote my first record for me. It was the worst song they ever wrote in their life, but they gave it to me.
And your songs have been associated with some of the great people, like Cliff Richard, Dave Clark.
Yes, Sir Cliff, I wrote songs for him for 10 years. It was I mean, anybody who has anything to do with Sir Cliff Richard, I mean, he's very fortunate indeed. And I always consider myself to be very lucky to have got that opportunity. But, I mean, that opportunity was given to me really by Mickey Mouse do. So I wrote a song for Lulu for the Eurovision Song Contest, and they turned it down, the BBC. So Mickey loved it. He was her manager at the time. So he was so convinced it was a hit song that he took it to Cliff Richard's, who now Sir Cliff Richard, and we turned the association throughout the 70s writing songs for him. And it was wonderful, and he was really very good to me. I know him an awful lot, you know.
And, of course, he's just turned 70, hasn't he, now?
He certainly has. He's one of the very few people in this business who's older than me.
Well, we're not going to ask you how old you are, Ray. So.
Well, I'm 69, so I don't mind. With Sir Cliff in the States, who cares?
You know. Let's go back. Your first fame here was singing a song called Gilly Gilly Ossenfeather Castanella Bogan by the Sea.
When I was 8 years old, yeah. That was at the Dunlop Christmas party for the children. My stepfather used to work there, and they had a Christmas party and give her a present. And anyway, something happened. Somebody didn't turn up or something, and they asked for the children to do little turns, you know, while things were going on in the canteen. And I got up and sang Gilly Gilly Ossenfeather, and they gave me sixpence. So that was my first wages in this business.
And that got you started, I suppose. There,
I mean, certainly, I didn't get stage struck, but I weren't afraid of it, you know. So I mean, I suppose that was something. I never really ever thought I'd come into show business at all. I mean, it was never a childhood dream, and nobody in my family has ever been. So it was just something. More by accident than anything else, you know. But I'm certainly glad. I suppose if tuberculosis can be good to you, I think that was probably good to me there, you know. Otherwise, I think if it weren't for that illness, I would never have come into this business. Never.
Now, Wolverhampton holds a special place in your heart, I understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Wolverhampton was probably the first place outside of our own town where we were welcomed by people we didn't know, you know, in another district, another town. And we gathered and still have to this day a wonderful following there. And they've grown with us, and their children have grown with the music because their parents played it over and over again. We become really quite close to the Wolverhampton people's hearts, and I've always felt that's one of our the feathers in our caps, really. That we found that town, and they gave us their love, and they still continue to do so right to this day.
But on one of the occasions, you were doing a gig there, and you collapsed, I understand.
Yeah, that was at the Ship and Rainbow public. I don't think it's still there, I'm not sure. But it was a weekly do, a bash, you know, with all sorts of bands. We used to work there with Robert Plant, you know, and people in their young days when we'd all got little bands. And it was very hot there, and we generated an awful lot of people. So it was as full as you're ever going to get it. And it was midsummer, and it was really hot. And I would work for 2 or 3 hours, you know, and everything we did then was 100 mile an hour, you know. It was just no sort of relaxing little parts, you know, where you relax and do a couple of ballads or something like that. It was all 100 more now. And I think I just touch of each stroke, and they carted me off to Wolverhampton Hospital. And anyway, they said, you're fine, and they took me back to the pub and give me an award. So I thought that was very nice of them, which I've still got to this day.
Over the sea and mountains far,
let's talk about your songs now. You've written, what, over 3,000 songs altogether.
Oh, yeah,
so where do you get the inspiration from?
Well, that's a complete mystery. I think it's not only for me, but I think for everybody that I've known. I got to know a lot of songwriters, obviously because of the business I'm in, of all over the world, and none of us know that. It's just something that we can actually do, because I'm not a good musician by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I just have melody in me which I can find, and I can write lyrics, and I mean I think that's probably just God given. I don't know what else it can be, because it's certainly nothing that you can learn, you know. So if it was down to the education of music of it, I wouldn't know anything. So it's got to be something that's just given to me by somebody I don't know.
Probably a follow-on from your poetry, do you think?
Well, it might be that, yeah. But I love writing words. So, if I write something down, it sounds nice. I feel good inside. It's like, you know, like a fix, if you like. If I've written something, it sounds lovely. I think, well, that's nice. People would like to read that. And that's the secret of it, really. It's a secret that none of us know. But the skill is to write something that other people like to read as well, so that they can find joy in it, or sorrow, or whatever is the message in it.
Now, when you're thinking of these songs, can you imagine the music? Do the words come first before the music?
Well, sometimes it does, and sometimes it don't. A small piece of melody would do it, or you could say something to me in our conversation now, and I think that sounds nice, and I will keep it inside and use that two or three words that maybe you just said and don't even realise that you've said them. But to me, they ring poetry, and I'll take it from there because it takes me onto something else, you know. So things are like, it's really listening to life, really, for what you do. I mean, every song I write, I imagine I'm doing it. Like, I've written a song recently, going to America, and so, I mean, I've been to America a million times, but this time I'm leaving it from poverty and going to America. But I can actually go there, I'm going in my mind. So when people listen to it, if they're sort of living in a bedsit or something, they'll imagine that's them, you know. Because I know that too, you know, and that's strange, and I don't know the people. It's amazing, isn't it?
Must be a great gift you got there, I think.
Well, it can only be a great gift when people tell you that they've understood it. And I mean, when you write a song, performance to me is important. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you sing great or anything, but if the performance is deliberate and felt, the people, for some reason, know it. And they don't know why themselves, but they pick it up and you touch them and they applaud you. And that's the full kiss of life when people applaud something you've done.
Yes.
You know, which is great. Recently, an old lady, she died only quite 2 weeks ago, but she was 103 years old, and I wrote something, and to imagine the noble lady of 103 could find that and love it, to me, was amazing. I mean, who could do that?
Let's talk about some famous names that you've been associated with. People like, Glen Campbell, Don Williams, Billy Joe Spears.
Yeah, Billy Joe.
What were these people like to work with?
Well, Billy Joe Spears is lovely. I mean, I haven't seen her for quite a while now, but I did two tours with Billy Joe Spears. And she was the type of lady who would, she'd one of the boys, you know. She wouldn't travel in the limo on the side like some of them do. She would travel with a band and play poker, you know, and win, you know, and deal the cards from the bottom, you know, all the tricks. But she was a real absolute natural entertainer, Billy Joe Spears, and still is, of course. And I was fortunate enough to become great friends with her, went over to Nashville and invited into the studio when she made a 57 Chevrolet and all those things. It were great memories for me. But certainly working with Billy Joe Spears was great. And I remember we stopped off at she was doing an interview at the Pebble Mill at 1, it used to be, of a lunchtime. And she said, "Well, you call me with me, Froggy, to this interview." And I said, "Well, no, they haven't asked for me." And she said, "Well, what shall I say about you?" I said, "Well, don't say anything, because they've probably never heard of me. You know, they've only heard of Billy Joe Spears." She said, "But this is your hometown." So that's the way our business works over here. But she couldn't understand that, which is quite amazing, you know. But so Billy Joe never mentioned me, just in case he's embarrassed her.
So how would you describe your music? Would you describe it as pop, country and western,
I do songs, I can write pop songs, and I think they're really important, you know. Though they have no content of, you know, of learning or anything like that. But I think that's important for people to listen to, and they're like They're sort of like, I don't know, just a kiss on the cheek as opposed to a love affair with life. So, you know, they're that important, you know, for everyday things. So I write an awful lot of them, and I've been successful with them too. And I wrote recently a song which Daniel O'Donnell did, you know, called Somewhere Under the Sun. And he recorded it and it became one of the biggest selling songs in the world because of his delivery of it. And the Americans, which is really quite a compliment, I don't know why, that they put it on their educational channel on the television for the children for the construction of the song. I don't know whether it's to tell the children what not to do, or, but I check everything as a compliment. So presumably it's just to tell the kids that this is how to do it, you know, which I think is rather nice.
Well, thank you very much indeed for talking to us, Froggy, and good luck for your Telford concert, and may you continue to bring joy to everybody with your music.
You're very kind. Thanks very much, Robert. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Ain't it funny how an evening ends? Moving shadows of a light that dims. In every line of every song I will ever sing, that is where I will see you again.
Very sadly, Froggy died in the Royal Shrewsbury Hospital, aged 81, on July the 23rd, 2023. The Birmingham and Telford-based singer formed the Raymond Froggatt Band in 1965, made up of Lou Clark, Len Ablethorpe and Hartley Kane. Together they toured the world and gave us some wonderful songs to listen to, time and time again. May you rest in peace, Raymond Froggy Froggatt.
I will see you again. I will.